episode of the Freedom Talks podcast, everybody. This is your host, Joe Ogden. This week, we're here with Wes Cocott, who is our Maguanago manager. We're here with part two, where we're recapping what we talked about in week one of our podcast, where we talked about the objective data and treatment of an athlete. And then this week, what we're going to talk about is just kind of recapping what we talked about in our first podcast and building on it with, okay, now what do we do with all of this objective data that we have, and how best do we treat athletes? So without further ado, here's our podcast interview with Wes.
The baseball gurus of the world have really, for the last 30 years, have had like this baseball conference. And so they based a lot of research on trying to figure out how to get people better. And so the nice thing is their research is a lot of, they're really getting into risk assessments and different things and trying to fit it into some of the basic measurements that we all do, which is kind of nice. It's the nice thing about what they do is they have some pretty hard lines of numbers that really you can kind of see, and just following those numbers really give you a really good idea if this person has a higher risk of getting hurt or not, you know, for pitching, of course. So it's a really nice thing that they have those numbers and those benchmarks. The shoulder and the elbow have been researched quite a bit. And so that's nice. And so you can really take those assessments and really, really kind of drive home. The biggest thing they really really focus on is the dynamometer measurements for the shoulder. They got these lines in the sand, you can call them, on where you're more likely to get hurt. And then they actually have followed all these pitchers after they do these measurements, and they say, okay, well, you got hurt and you didn't get hurt, and this is your strength score and this is your strength score. And they found that some really nice numbers that are really easy just using a handheld dynamometer. So I always love using that because it's so objective, and it really, after using that, you really do get a really clear picture of, yeah, and it's not easy. So I'm talking about is rotator cuff strength. Is a lot of pitchers will, they've done a lot of research on external rotators. And of course, that's the one of the main rotator cuff muscles that can get really affected. They found that infraspinatus their EMG scores will drop by 30% if you get injured. And so a lot of these pitchers, and on top of it, they've also found that the supraspinatus and the infraspinatus will weaken if you do more than 50 innings for throwing, quite a bit compared to pitches that are like lower use. So looking at arm care, they always call arm care, and there's different people that use the handheld dynamometer. And the research shows that if they have a line in the sand of body weight, so they like to look at the external rotation too compared to the body weight. So they always want to do 20% of the body weight compared to your, so let's say you're 100 pounds, which you're not. Most pitchers are really good ones, but let's say, you know, it's 20 pounds of pressure you should have for external rotator. And then 30% of the body weight for internal rotators. And then the problem is like with pitching, the internal rotators tend to dominate the external rotators because the lat is really high, has a high EMG when you do the ball release. And obviously that's the big thing that gets, they're looking into, like some of the high level pitchers are hurting their lat and they're tearing their lat because it's just being used so much. But that being said, and we're not dealing with like the super high level, like the professionals, but even the high school athletes, unfortunately, they get a lot higher internal rotators to external rotator ratio. And they found a line in the sand, and that's where there's like four or five studies that have confirmed that, where they always want it between 66% as strong as the internal. So external rotators, let's say if you had, let's say like internal rotation was at 10 pounds, external should be at least at 6.6 pounds of pressure. So it always has to try to fall in that ratio. And believe it or not, I mean, the high school pitchers, because of a lot of these high school athletes are getting trained like football players in the weight room, they work on a lot of lat strength and pectoral major strength, and it's an internal rotator. And so a lot of times all their throwing, they do get their ratios get thrown off quite a bit. And so a lot of people are in that, I'll see it's not uncommon where they're at 50% by external rotation. I just had a kid that really good pitcher and he knows all that and he's still at 50%. So, you know, that happens. So there's always the ratio thing is a big risk factor. So the handheld dynamometer is a very valuable tool. With the research that I'm doing is more with the legs. And I'd like to get some measurements like, hey, if you're, it's a little bit of a stretch, but you know, hey, if you're weaker and your hip internal rotators or external rotators, and can you do that pelvic rotation, that hip to shoulder separation properly? Or are you going to fly out in the front side and just lead with the elbow and drag and cause a lot more pressure on your elbow and shoulder? So I know that if we could find maybe a baseline for that, and I know that people are looking into the lower extremity a little bit more, but that's kind of the purpose of those measurements, because the handheld dynamometer, like I said, I mean, they have a really nice, group of things that they've done. I think there was another study that looked at the supraspinatus too. It basically looked at shoulder strength and scaption. And it, again, there was that 15 to 20% body weight. These measurements are really nice to show, and it's easy to prove to the pitcher to kind of work on those things instead of, just kind of say, do these exercises. They have a goal and they get excited about like actually moving up to that level. And they do. And it's cool. It's like, you know, you'll start seeing the changes in their ratios and they have less and less pain at the shoulder or, you know, just it's a nice thing to kind of show them, because unfortunately pitching is so one dimensional sometimes. And there's a lot of just, you know, focus on certain muscles and you got to almost have to counteract that with some arm care. So that is some of the things that really are focused on. And I know, Joe, you've went through the Mike Raynal course and all that. And they've emphasized, the total range of motion, of course, and that's for the flexibility of the total shoulder. We kind of fell into the thinking that everybody was tight with the internal rotators and with the posterior capsule, and we would stretch the posterior capsule too much. And so they're focusing on the whole, you know, body, you know, with the shoulder, and they're getting some really solid measurements there. And so that's the nice thing about those research projects, because they really do give you a little bit more of a clearer picture of what to look for. But like, you know, as you know, if you're working with an athlete, they don't know this stuff. It doesn't trickle down to them. Yeah. You try to educate, and even when you educate, it sometimes goes, you know, they're younger kids, and sometimes, you know, they just want to get better, and you know, and they just kind of do that. But it's tricky, because you know, there's different. It's not well known. All those different measurements aren't known, and not a lot of people have handheld dynamometers lying around either.
Yeah, to me, that's one of the crazy things. And you know, I should use it on all patients, But I'll be honest, I don't, because
yeah, right. It's hard.
I guess like it. Yeah, and it gets like political too, I guess, you know, with PTs. But you know, to me, when you're working with athletes, and I think you would agree with this, and this is what I really like about, you know, the kind of the Kevin Wilkes and Mike Reinholds, you know, Lenny Macrina, and basically I mean, all of these guys is for the most part, when you get an athlete that comes into your office or clinic, whatever, the reason that they're there is not because they are functionally weak that they can't do something.
Right.
They're functionally weak when it comes to their sport, and that's a whole different ball game, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You got to be able to objectify those numbers.
Right.
To do a thorough job, at least in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, it's really hard to like kind of say, well, you're weak here by pressing on it. And like you do a manual muscle test, and they can push you through the roof, you know, you do an average quad measurement on an athlete, they're going to kick you across the room, you know, but to find out if they're, you know, under, you know, like if you're doing an ACL, are they under that, you know, you should be at 90% as strong as the other leg. That's hard to tell with a manual muscle test, you know? And so that's the nice thing about handheld dynamometers. And I know a lot of, you know, like the professional athletes are using that, you know, I mean, the therapists are using it in the professional world. They have to function, you know, there's no way they have, I mean, cause you've got to prove what you're doing, you know, obviously. But like in our world where we're dealing with high school athletes, it's, you know, that handheld dynamometer is $1,500, you know, that's a lot of money. And so to have that list lying around, you just have one in the clinic at best, you know. So it's something that I wish PTs would learn more about. And I think we're getting to that point where we're starting to realize we're going away from the manual muscle testing type of thing, because it really doesn't give you the, you know, I feel like, as it, like you said, the athlete is going to easily push you around, and you can't tell the difference.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I think where it the manual muscle test to me becomes obsolete with athletes. And I think the ACL is a perfect example of this that can be applied to a football player, baseball player. It doesn't matter. Anybody can tear their ACL, right?
Yeah.
Is when it comes to true insurance coverage, when it comes to reimbursement, they don't care going back to sport. As long as you can walk with your backpack at school and you're safe, boom, we're going to cut you loose. And that's not knocking on the insurance company. That is just the state of healthcare as it is. So
it's really sad.
Gives us
right. And it's really sad because if you look at the average, you know, like let's say you go on the ACL, 9 months it takes for that femoral nerve to really wake up.
Yep.
It's 9 months. So really we're dealing with 9 months of just letting it just, you know, there's no way insurance coverage is going to afford that most of the time. And you're stuck with 20 visits sometimes per calendar year. And just that's to rehab a person properly is not going to work. You know, you maybe get the range of motion, but like you said, functional strength, and that's not going to be there. And you're going to, and we all know what's more likely to hurt yourself is you injured that body part, you know, it's for everything down the line, from Achilles to ankle sprains, to ACLs, to shoulders, to elbows. There's the biggest risk factor is if you hurt yourself once before. Yeah. And unfortunately we're not properly rehabbing them, and we can't, because I mean, if you really look at like all the research that goes, there's levels upon layers and layers of levels of things that where we have to kind of try to work their way up to that speed of game speed. And there's so many layers that, you know, they want us to stop where, oh, they can lift their arm up properly and have full range of motion and, you know, maybe do okay with manual muscle testing. But honestly, are they going to have the speed to really throw at the fastest thing that you could do in sports? You know, that's not going to happen. And then they wonder why they come back with another injury, you know, and that's a problem with how we rehab. I mean, we do have to get creative. I wish there would be a way to do it where it's financially feasible. You know, it's hard to ask an athlete to pay $145 a visit, you know, to it's hard to do that, you know, because then they go, well, I'll try to rehab myself. And you know how that goes, that, you know, they just kind of lose focus a lot of times. And so, yeah, I mean, there's so much to it. And I think the more we can get these measurements, I know they're diving into more muscular endurance assessments. So a lot of the baseball classes are talking about these. Kevin Welk is really big on using these 2-pound pliables and measuring how much you can do a 90-90 prone 90-90 and flip it up and catch and measure how many, you know, reps compared to your non-dominant arm. Is it perfect? You know, maybe there could be some better ones out there, but at least we're starting to go into that direction. But I mean, that those are just some different things that are still there that are, need, you know, we got to work through all that. And I think that's where, you know, you have to get the strength before obviously we get power, you know, and power is plyometrics and things like that. And it to really honestly have like anything, you know, especially like, you know, like Tommy John's, that's a big long period of time where some doctors are very hesitant for you to even do any plyometrics till 6 months, you know. And how do you do that without, you know, I mean, eventually getting them to where they need to be, you know, it's tricky. So there's a lot of like you said, some different factors that can kind of get affected that need to be worked on. Yeah. So anyway, so it's just one of those things where we just, I just feel like there's with rehab, like you said, it's the political thing about the insurance, you know, and how do you really get somebody to be point A to point B at that point? We all know where to get there. We'd love to get them to do the 3-legged hop tests and things like that properly, you know, for ACL and get them to do it. But how do you get to that point, you know? So,
well, again, that's where I think the objective measurements is so important to me. Yeah. You know, I mean, I've had ACLs, I've had, you know, rotator cuffs, a UCL, where objectively speaking, they're doing fantastic.
Yeah.
It's not me, you know, being like, right. Oh, doing really well. I mean, I just had one not too long ago with Dr. Gordon, an ACL. Yeah. She was a freak and she did everything she was supposed to. She did fantastic. And I both him and Eric, and I said, guys, I haven't done anything crazy. I'm just doing my job. This is what I see. Yeah. I don't know what you guys want to do, because we have to hold her back still, but she's doing fantastic. And we're like, well, you know, let's see what happens. But what I think is interesting about the objective part, especially post ACL, the return to play. And I mean, I do the same stuff baseball wise, return to play. How many of those athletes fail those tests, but they're out of insurance visits? A lot.
Oh, a lot. I mean, unfortunately, yeah. I mean, you're dealing, and a lot of times it's unfortunate, but you do see a lot of that happening with people all the time. The, you know, a lot of them have 10 visits. Some of them are a little out of network.
Sorry, our aide was doing their vacuuming.
You're good.
So, yeah, I mean, it's really hard to really get them to get to where you want to be. And unfortunately, a lot of times they're repeat customers once in a while because of that. Like you said, you unfortunately tend to see the, you know, once it's good, you get rapport with them, but then all of a sudden it's like, oh shoot, you couldn't finish the job completely like you wanted to. And I think a lot of, unfortunately, like it's really hard to educate high school kids, because once they have no pain, they start thinking it's okay.
And a lot of times they start trying to get out of it because they want to go to practice and they want to get, they don't want to spend the time away from the practice at all too. And that's hard to really get them to understand that it's worth going that extra mile so you don't hurt themselves later on. And that's a hard education for high school athletes too.
What would you say strength wise for the pitching athlete are some of the, you know, most important things to have?
Well, definitely, the one thing we did a paper on the obliques, and that was really interesting there that we did find, definitely the people that could throw harder had a little bit more obliques. That's one. The hip extension on the backside is a big one. They found that it's really linked with hip to shoulder separation. It's a correlation, but it's a moderate correlation that shows that there's some good strength with that. Hip external rotation and internal rotation strength is less likely to have horizontal abduction, which is the really bad for your elbow and your shoulder. So if you have stronger hip external rotation, internal rotation, those things are really huge on avoiding like those really bad, you know, like the pitcher really reaches back and torques their torso more. That's been a really good thing to find. So those things are really important. And I think I everybody knows that the leg and the core is very important. So that's what I've been finding in the research, which is good. And it's been kind of confirmed with other stuff too. As for the shoulder, obviously we all know the external rotators are extremely important. There's a Brooks Klein that I always follow on LinkedIn. He's the White Sox physical therapist, and they always ask him questions. And he said, if you could choose three exercises for the shoulder, what would it be? And he said, external rotation, external rotation, external rotation. He had three external rotation exercises. So it really is important. Like I said, it's that, you know, you can really drop by, you know, 30% for the infraspinatus for the EMG once it's hurt. And then again, the teres minor in the 90-90 position too, that's a little bit more that way too. So those things. And then obviously you got, I think the biggest thing is, and I'm finding more and more is a little bit of a thoracic outlet type of things that happen with pitchers too. There's so much torque. And finding, you know, obviously we all know the serratus anterior is important. It's really hard to objectify that one. It's really frustrating. I went to a course where they talked about putting your hand on the side and thumb down. And then if it wings out a little bit more, it's like 1.5 centimeters. But I've yet to see anything that's really objective, really. You can always see it when you do a push-up or something like that and it wings out or something like that. But I really wish there'd be something more objective that you could find with the serratus anterior. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of kids with the phone devices, their necks are so forward and then their scapular system is weak too. So, you know, there's so much stuff there that's out there, you know, that I'm seeing quite a bit with. And unfortunately, a lot of these guys will have a whole boatload of stuff. And I've been seeing a lot of neck stuff too. They don't even realize that their neck is affected, but their upper traps all, you know, affected. And then I start looking through their neck and then all of a sudden I'm like, holy cow, you got this and this and this. And this lack of mobility in your neck. And so then that leads to sometimes a tight levator scapula and yanks on that scapula and throws in it. And it just a mess because then you got a dysfunction in the scapula. You know, it's all a mess sometimes. So I think there's a lot of talk about thoracic outlet when I'm when I go to these baseball courses too, there's a big thing now, starting to see that more. And I kind of question of how much traction does that pull on your first rib to a point, or your scalenes? Cause you know, when you're ball releasing it, it just puts so much traction on it. So all those, sorry, I'm going on and on, but there's so much stuff that you can really look at, you know, at the whole thing. It's the whole picture, right? And so to do that, like you said, to get to tell an athlete to do that in 20 visits, to go through all those different things, it's really stinking hard to get them to buy into a lot of that. Unless you get some people, I found that the people that are more into it, and obviously it's more their livelihood and they're trying to stay in it, I think they listen to you more and they're willing to follow it. But I think high school kids, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
But there's so much stuff out there. It's so cool to see it and to try to at least break it up, because that, you know, that none of these kids are really getting looked at, you know, there's nothing. I mean, they might get a rub down by the athletic trainer or something like that. And there's nothing wrong with athletic trainers. They don't have the time to really work with them. You know, they have like 10 kids in the training room.
Yeah.
how do you really treat somebody properly? They might be able to tape them with Kinesio tape or something, but
yeah, no, I agree. No.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the sad thing about it, you know. And I always feel like it could be so quickly like fixed with a lot of these kids. Like if they only were educated, have just known arm care, basic arm care, like that's what we were kind of talking about trying to get into, like these different places. I mean, I think that would help a lot of people, you know, avoid an injury. And unfortunately, like with, you know, UCL, like, you know, they just are fine. And then they blow it out and there's nothing you can do about it then, you know, once it's torn, you know, they have to have surgery, unfortunately, you know, and you never know when that's going to happen, you know? So, and they could be fine for 5 outings and then all of a sudden they tear it. So,
yeah, no, I agree. I mean, the tricky part is nobody knows how important it is until you need it.
Right. And then they realize, holy cow, it's like, you mean you can't fix this, you know? And you feel bad when you get a couple of those. Like we all run into those, like, where you just go, you get an ECL and there's nothing, is torn. And no matter what you do, you can't fix that, you know? So it's a really sad thing, you know? And then, you know, how long the rehab is, and then they know that they freak out but no one thinks it's going to happen to them, you know? And,
well,
and,
that, and that's, thank you, you know, for, yeah. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, Joe. I love talking to you. Yeah, I love talking to you. It's great.
Yeah, we'll keep going. We'll do one kind of this spring, just kind of recapping maybe how some of the baseball stuff is going in Wisconsin, both high school and maybe.
That'd be fun. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah.
All right, my friend. Yeah. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Joe. Nice talking to you.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Freedom Talks podcast. And thank you to Wes for coming on and taking time out of his day. We're super busy here at Freedom. So for him to come take time out of his day to sit and talk with us and talk about some of the objective portion of the evaluation and treatment of athletes, sometimes it can differ from the treatment and basis of treatment compared to the regular individual who's just a normal active human being versus getting back out onto a playing field. So there is a little bit of a difference. So thank you to Wes again for going back and forth and talking about that. If anybody has any suggestions for a future podcast or any questions about this podcast, please reach out to us on social media. We see all of our comments where we post our podcast. And if anybody has any suggestions for future podcast ideas, please definitely let us know as well. And finally, if anybody has any physical needs and needs to see a physical therapist, please visit us here at Freedom, either in our Fox Point location, our Brookfield location, Grafton, or Maguanago. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see everybody in next week's episode.